And I am so delighted that we get to be together, ladies and gentlemen. Guess what? Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Do y'all know what time it is? It is Impacting Life 24/7 time. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This is CL King coming to you live from the High Definition Studios here in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And I am so delighted that the weekend is over. I know some of y'all live for the weekend, but I actually live for the week, y'all. I want to get it all while I can get it. Because sometimes in the weekend, you know, we relax and we chill and we cut the grass and wash our car. You know, I guess those things have to happen. But during the week, ladies and gentlemen, I get the opportunity. I mean, it almost is like unfair that every Monday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night, I get to have extraordinary people come into our virtual studios and come into your homes. You know, when I think about where we started, I was telling my guests tonight where we started. The Bible says, don't despise the days of small beginnings. Well, it couldn't have gotten much smaller than the way we started. And when I go back and watch some of the episodes, I'm just like, you know, I wouldn't even let Samson, my golden retriever, watch that stuff. But I am thankful for where we are today. And where we are today is now we are broadcasting on 33 different states throughout the country and 10 countries around the world. But why is that? It certainly is not because of me. It's not because of all of my skills and my grandiose capacities. It is more about the people that we bring to our show that bring impact. I've got a guest tonight that is going to rock y'all world. He is an award-winning marketer and a sought-after public speaker. Vince Warnock has been inducted into the Fearless 50 program, which recognizes the top 50 marketers in the world who are driving bold, fearless marketing digital transformation. Y'all ready to be transformed tonight? I tell you, we don't just bring the average Joes in here. We bring people that are going to help you. And I'm delighted that we got Vince Warnock in here. Let me tell you a little bit more about Vince. Vince has an electric background, training as an electronics and computer engineer before broadening into engineering, radio announcing, web development, and film, until eventually marketing. I told Vince that I had to be on my A game, since he's all the way in this stuff. I'm like, I'm just a rookie. Currently, Vince is a full-time author. He's a marketing strategist and coach. And Vince was previously the chief marketing officer at Cigna Life Insurance and co-founder of high-growth tech startup Common Ledger. With his wealth of knowledge, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm telling you, I've talked to him for the past 30 minutes, and I am full. With his wealth of knowledge and experience in the marketing industry, Vince gives back regularly through his work with Marketing Association, as well as a mentor and tutor. We are blessed, ladies and gentlemen. I know you guys hear that often, but we are blessed to have someone of this capacity coming to our studios tonight, all the way from New Zealand. It's tomorrow where he is. That's how much in the future this brother's thinking. Our friend and new guest at Impacting Life 24/7, I want you to welcome Vince Warnock. Welcome, Vince.
Oh, thank you. Like, that's it, man. From now on, you are doing all of my intros. Like, I'm just hiring you full time to just walk around and introduce me to people. I have never felt better.
You know, Vince, man, people say that a lot, and there is a reason behind it. Before we get to our show tonight, Vince, there's a psychology behind it. When I'm speaking and I'm introduced, I used to get frustrated because sometimes they would say, CL King. And I'm just like, I mean, I've done just a tiny bit more than that introduction. So I've always determined that if people come on my platform or our platform, I was going to do everything I could to roll out the 6-inch deep, thick red carpet and make them feel like a celebrity, which you are. So, Vince, thank you so much for joining us. And those of you on our live audience, we thank you so much. Thank you, Greg, for already getting his website up. And Vince, we want to, before we get down to business, we want people to know how to contact you, because when they hear you talk and when they hear what you've got going on, they're going to be glad they've already went to your website. Tell us.
Well, mate, I make it super easy. Everyone can contact me just through my website. So go to chasingtheinsights.com. Everything I have's there, my books there, my podcast there, but also all the links to my social media. And that's one of the most efficient ways to reach out to me. I am always happy to connect with new people, always happy to jump on a Zoom call with them if they're stuck at any point, they need help. I'm always eager to give. So do reach out and contact me. Go to chasinginsights.com and just connect to me through all the social channels.
Yeah, chasinginsights.com. Thank you, Greg. And he's also got your Twitter handle up there. And so we're blessed, number one, because we have two audiences that we are dealing with at the same time. We're dealing with our live audience, which we love to have our live audience with us. And, of course, our podcast audience, the Impacting Life 24/7 mainstayers, the IL247s that really keep this things going, the people that are downloading in 33 different states, and people that are consuming great wealths of knowledge from people like you, Vince. And so we're very, very blessed that you are doing what you're doing and why you came on our show. So before I interrogate you for the next hour, Vince, before I extract every ounce of information I can get out of you that I tried to do in the last 30 minutes, why don't you tell everybody just a little bit about yourself? Vince, introduce yourself to our folks at Impacting Life 24/7.
Mate, well, I mean, you did such a good job in the bio. I'm like, in the intro, I'm like, how do I add to that? Look, I'm a father of two amazing kids. Honestly, I have two very entrepreneurial kids. My son's 18. He runs his own web development company. My daughter's 24. She runs her own digital marketing agency. But more than that, I am married to possibly the most amazing human being in the world. My wife is an addictions counselor. She works with people with gambling addictions, alcohol, drug addictions, and things like that, and puts everything I do to shame because she helps so many people in such a tangible kind of way. So I'm just, I'm sitting there going, yep, great intro. Thanks, man. But honestly, I'm just completely blessed. And I'm just so lucky to be married to my wife and have those two amazing kids. Plus, I'm a giant nerd. I'm a giant Star Wars fan, Marvel Comics fan. I'm completely addicted to anything in the MCU, in the Marvel Universe, anything on Star Wars. Man, I have so much fun. Me and my son are rewatching all of Clone Wars again at the moment just because, well, because we like it.
Well, that is so cool. You'll have to, Greg, if you can, you might want to tag Tim Bicycle, that's how you say it phonetically. He was just on our show a couple of days ago, and he is a huge Star Wars fan, and exactly the same thing, brother, Marvel and all that kind of stuff. So let me ask you, since you brought it up.
Yep.
Here we go. I told you, ladies and gentlemen, I shouldn't have drank ginger ale before the show. What if you could be a character? Which one would you be?
Of the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, man.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
Any day. Yeah, I grew up, so growing up in the background, I did. So I think you and I were talking before the show, but you know, I didn't have the greatest of upbringing. I grew up in abuse. I grew up in poverty. Comic books for me were this massive escapism. They were a way for me to gain perspective, because I would look at these people like Peter Parker, who's Spider-Man. I would look at all the challenges he had, and he had all the same challenges all of us did. You know, he's trying to woo a girl. He had no money. He's trying to keep a job while also trying to study, trying to do all these different things. But at the same time, he also had this pressure and this responsibility to try and save the world, to try and save people like you and I. And it did something to me reading these stories and connecting with these characters, because it made me put perspective on my own issues and problems, going, well, all of these fictional characters, but in my mind, by the way, when you're young, you don't care if they're fictional or not.
That's
to
right.
me, they were all characters who could battle through what I did and even more, which meant that I had more potential in me than what I saw then. So yeah, it was just, so Spider-Man for me was just the one. He, for some reason, that character just spoke to me so much. It just seemed to be paralleling a lot of my life in some areas, and yeah, it was awesome.
Well, if you don't mind, I know we didn't go too deep into it, but you and I found out just, and this is interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to Impacting Life 24/7. Hello, Mike. I'm glad you finally decided to clock in. Mike is one of my co-hosts, and so he's, we've got folks that help us on this show from all around the country. One of the things that me and him, ladies and gentlemen, here's how this set up. I sent Vince the wrong link. I was actually supposed to just be pre-interviewing Vince to see if I wanted him on the show. Well, silly me, I sent them the show link that says, hey, we want you on the show. And so when I started reading his stuff today, I said, ooh, I sent them the wrong link, but I'm so glad I did. You guys are going to thank me tonight. So you had kind of a challenging childhood. You want to share a little bit of that?
Yeah. Yeah, so I grew up in an abusive household. So I had my parents weren't my actual parents. I was put into this household kind of thing, and my father was a drug addict and was very abusive. My mother also not drug addict, but alky and dealing with her own issues and things. So I grew up in this environment where you felt like first of all, you had to keep the peace because you didn't want anything to go volatile, anything to go, violent and things like that. So I learned very quickly to be humorous because you try and diffuse situations with humor, but you learned to keep yourself low, not stick your head up above everybody else, not put yourself out there because if you did, you were probably going to get your head punched. So growing up in that kind of environment, it does something to you. It limits who you can be because you don't see hope. You only see what is around you, which is not nice. So for me, it was really interesting because school was my happy place. Normally you hear people hate school. I liked school for one reason, and that was to get away from that household environment. And for the first probably 5 years of my schooling, that was wonderful. Then at age 11, I went to what we call intermediate school here. It's like a transitional school between primary and what you call high school, we call college. So I went to this intermediate school for 2 years, age 11 and 12. And I discovered two things there that I'd never come across before. One of them was a bully at school. And suddenly I had this guy who tormented me for 2 years. And I realized I had no safe space. I had no safe space at home because there was abuse there. I had abuse at school. So that was a really trying time. But I also found something else which blew me away. And it was my teacher. And he was just the most incredible teacher I've ever, and he had such a profound impact on me, by the way, that I've ever come across. I remember I was a real cheeky kid because I was really smart, really bright, but also I would try and deflect things, use humor all the time. So I remember he said something to me. He goes, "All right, guys, we're going to prepare for a presentation. I'm going to get each of you to present in front of the class." And I was like, "Oh, why are we doing this? When are we ever going to get the opportunity to present anywhere? Come on, man." And he goes, "Okay, well, how about now?" And he called me up the front of the class and he said, "Stand here. You're going to speak for 5 minutes. Kids, what topic is he going to speak on?" And of course, 11-year-olds aren't that creative. So they said, "An egg." So I had to speak for 5 minutes on an egg. He gave me about 20 seconds to mentally prepare. So that was generous of him. But he completely put me on the spot. And he goes, "And your time starts now." And all I could think about, the only thing in that 20 seconds of preparation time I could think about was the joke, the thing, which came first, the chicken or the egg. So I started with that. And then I just got into this weird flow. It was just my brain went to this other space. And I just started speaking and all this. And I was bringing all these things together and thinking about all these things and bringing them together as part of the story. And then it got down to about 20 seconds left. And he said, "You got 20 seconds left." And I said, "Blah, blah, blah." And then I finished with, "So obviously the chicken came first." And the entire room erupted.
They
And
went
I was just like,
crazy, huh?
I was just like, what happened? Like my brain was just in this other area. And I remember turning to him and he just looked at me and he said, "Mate," he said, "you've got something really special in you. You've got the potential to do something great." And I felt this feeling on the inside for the first time ever. It was, what is this weird thing? And it was hope. It was actually somebody believing in me. And that was the moment, age 11, I realized that's what I want for everyone. I want every single person to feel that sense of hope. I want every single person to know that the seed of greatness is inside of all of us. I want every single person to know that they have the potential to break through, no matter what your environment, no matter what your surroundings are. So that was really profound for me, man. But yeah, it was also weird. Honestly, things like that in your background also come with a whole pile of other issues. Money was a funny one for me because I thought it was normal for parents to send you down to the supermarket to steal food because you had to eat. I thought it was normal to not have enough food on the plate and fighting with your six siblings about who's going to eat So yeah, all of those things I had to deal with as I went through my entrepreneurial career. But yeah, so that was kind of my upbringing.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined tonight by my friend Vince Warnock, and you can go get connected to him right away at chasingtheinsights.com. We've got his website link right there, and we'll also put it in the show link for those of you listening to the podcast. And he said a really profound thing. It almost could be a book, ladies and gentlemen. He said, "A strange thing called hope." He was 11 when he found his hope. You guys know that in the book that I'm writing, Who Ate My Brownie, No Matter the Adversity, You Still Can Make It, I left home at 11. God only, I told Vince, I said, man, we must be connected. We had to be related in another life.
We were separated at birth.
We had to be separated at birth, you know? So, yeah. And Greg says that, that 20 seconds and 5 minutes on the egg, it sounds like something that they did in Marine recruiting school. I was sitting there thinking about what you were talking about with the egg. I'm there in my mind because I'm a speaker, and I'm just like, what would I talk about? I talk about the shell, and I talk about the yolk, and I talk about the consistent. So I'm thinking, okay, I think I could get 5 minutes out of an egg. Yeah, I might could do it.
Come on, Sal. You could do 30 minutes on an egg.
Oh, man, we would go to town, man. Greg, remind me, we might have to challenge our Leadership Institute to do this drill, 5 minutes, and we give them a topic that is so benign, we might go worse. We might go worse than an egg. We might go scrambled eggs. So Tim, you know, you deal with a whole bunch, and I've already asked Tim if he would, I already asked Vince if he would come back for an encore show with us, because he has an absolute treasure trove of information. We're going to try our best to unpack it as well as we can tonight, but dealing with imposter syndrome is one of your specialties, and that's where you are an expert in, and self-doubt. And so we're going to get to the marketing piece, but I want you to kind of unpack for us what the imposter syndrome is. And, you know, you heard that a lot in your growing up. You know, you felt that a lot, that you were inferior. But the imposter syndrome, many of our listeners may not know. So I want you to explain that to us.
Well, definitely, man. Now I'm sorry, but this is going to take hours. Now you got me on my soapbox now. Look, imposter syndrome is something that I think the latest stats show around 72% of people in the world deal with at some point in their life. And it is that sense, that feeling that you are not worthy, that sense, that feeling that you're an imposter, that people are going to find out that you have no idea what you're doing. It could be in corporate life, could be in entrepreneurship, could be as a mum. A lot of mums face this as well. The fear of being judged for not knowing how to raise their kids, or not knowing the right thing to do, or not putting the right food on the table. And this kind of sense that people are going to judge us for not knowing. Mm-hmm. And that 72%, by the way, that's all of the population. But when you break that down by subsections, and one of those being entrepreneurship, it's almost 100%. Because most entrepreneurs at some point feel like they have no idea what they're doing. And here's the secret. They don't. This is the beauty. We are imposters. There's nothing wrong with this. And I think I said to you before, Sal, but a lot of psychologists, a lot of coaches and things like that, and business coaches and life coaches and everything, will try and tell you how to fight it, how to beat imposter syndrome. So they'll tell you, you know, okay, when you hear that little voice whispering at you, telling you you're not worthy, telling you you're not where you should be, that's when you should seek help and all these kinds of things. And all of that's good advice to a degree, but I got a very different approach, because one of the things I want people to do is actually realize what imposter syndrome is.
Yes.
And I'll take you back to a very quick story, but I remember when I was a very young kind of, I want to call myself businessman. I have no idea what it was, man. I just had a job at that point. I was working at a lab, funny enough, but I won tickets to this business breakfast. Uh-huh. And I was like, this is going to be amazing. The speaker was the oceanic rep for Adobe. And I had just, like, Photoshop 2 had come out. And I had don't judge me, I had a pirated copy back then because I was poor and no moral compass to guide me, by the way.
There you go.
But I was like, I was such a fan of the software. You could do so much with it. It was so creative and so powerful. I was like, wow. And I won tickets to this breakfast. And I thought, if I'm going to this, I'm going to stand out, because I don't own a suit. I don't even own anything slightly dressy, you know, and I can't turn up in shorts and jandals. So I went down to a secondhand shop, you know, like opportunity shop. I don't know what you guys call it over there. Goodwill. So I went down to a Goodwill shop and I found this suit, and it was the only one I could afford. It was $10. It was this pale gray but shiny material. It was disgusting. It was so ill-fitting. The sleeves went down to almost to my fingertips. It was double-breasted. It just looked hideous. Plus, by the way, back then, height of fashion, I had a mullet. So I had long hair, but I tied it back in a ponytail. Like, this was not the look of a successful entrepreneur or any kind of business person. I was like, this is terrible. But I was determined I was going to get everything I could out of this for two reasons. Number one, like, I won tickets to this. Number one, free food. And right. I was poor, so I wanted free food. So I was going to make the most of that opportunity. Yeah. But number two, I wanted to find out how this guy got to where he was. Yeah. I wanted to find out how to get success. So I turned up at this event and immediately regretted it. I sat at this table, I looked around at everybody at the table and realized I don't fit in at all. Everybody in my mind, this is how my mind translated, everyone in there must have been wearing Armani. They must have had these, they all looked perfect. They were all older. They all just seemed to have their life all sorted, seemed to be confident and know what they're talking about. Right. So I felt like a complete outsider. Imposter syndrome started screaming at me, basically saying, what are you doing here, man? You're such a fraud. They're gonna see through you clearly. So anyway, this guy presented, he was incredible. It was well and truly worth it. I was taking pages of notes, eating all the food, and I mean all the food, drinking all the coffee. But he got to the end and he went around each of the tables and he asked people if they had any questions. So I heard him at the table next to us ask that. And I thought, right, okay. And inside my internal dialogue, man, was going, all right, Vince, listen up. Okay, this is your brain speaking. You've got one chance, one opportunity to ask an intelligent question, okay? So don't screw this up.
Don't mess it up, Vince. Don't mess it up.
I've got it, brain. I've got it. We're okay. And I'm trying to think what to ask him. And he came over and he said, oh, have you guys got any questions? And without even thinking, like, honestly, my brain just gave up on me. I just turned around and said, at what point did you know you had made it? And my brain, you could almost hear my brain go, dude, that's it, I'm out of here. Like, seriously, you're a moron.
What a dumb question.
Yeah, exactly. The whole table, though, the funny thing is you could hear a slight snicker around the table and everyone's kind of rolling their eyes like, oh, what a dumb question.
Yes.
And I felt so small. I wanted to hide under the table in fetal position. I wanted to run out of there. Like, seriously, I was actually close to crying because I felt like I was so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing that surprised me was the speaker. He turned around and said, actually, that's a really good question. And you almost had everyone go, huh? Like, it is.
Oops.
And he said, I'm going to let you in on my secret. And I went, oh, so I'm in my brain, man. The moment you hear those words, I got really excited. I'm like, I'm going to have to write down everything this man says. Says, I'm going to let you know my daily routine. So I'm going, oh, I've heard daily routines are really important. So I'm writing down daily routine. He goes, every morning I wake up deliberately early. And I'm like, deliberately, interesting, early, okay, I'm getting it, man. And he goes, I go into the bathroom, and I'm writing down bathroom, interesting choice, not kitchen, yep. He goes, I fill up the sink with cold water, and I'm thinking, do I ask him what temperature? No, I'll just put cold water. So I wrote it down, and he goes, I splash that water on my face, I look in the mirror, and I go, ha, today's the day they find out you're a fraud. And I went, what? And he goes, Vince, I have never felt like I have made it.
Oh.
I always feel like a phony, a fake, an imposter. I have to remind myself that I know what I'm doing and I have to remind myself of what I've accomplished. But then he did something like, this is the first time I'd ever heard of imposter syndrome, but he did something else. He said, he pointed around this table of these people that I felt inferior to. And he said, most of us feel that way. And I looked around the table and most of the table were nodding. And that was a moment that made me realize two things. A, I'm not alone with how I feel.
Right.
But B, I have as much right to be at this table as everybody else. And when you find that other people deal with the same insecurities, the same fears, the same everything as you, then immediately it shifts your perspective. So because you realize all these people are just in the same boat as I am. So it means none of us, when we're sitting around a board table, for example, and everyone's trying to, you know, position themselves and all this. No, everybody feels like they're a fraud. You've got as much right to be there as all of them. So don't worry about that. But that's when I realized we should do something a little bit different. We should embrace imposter syndrome, because if you look at what imposter syndrome actually is, it is a defense mechanism of your brain. It is your brain going, hey, you are outside of your comfort zone right now. You are in an area where you don't know what you're doing, right? You are well and truly outside of the safe zone of the little comfortable box that I've created for you. So I'm going to get you to get back in here by making you fearful. I'm going to get you back in here by making you feel like everyone's going to expose you and feel like you're a fraud. But here's the problem with that. If you're an entrepreneur, or even not just an entrepreneur, if you're somebody who wants to succeed, who wants to grow, who wants to break through, then I can tell you now that is exactly where you should be. You should be outside of your comfort zone, because that's where growth happens. That's where breakthrough happens. That's where wealth happens. That's where everything happens. So your brain is basically just telling you, you are right where you should be.
Come on, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, I told you he was the heat from Australia. What country are you from?
New Zealand. You almost said Australia. The highest insult to a Kiwi.
New Zealand, right? New Zealand, yeah. Right? New Zealand. Okay, I said the wrong one. I apologize. From New Zealand, my friend Vince Warnock, he just broke it down and gave us some heat. He said the imposter syndrome is actually a defense mechanism to let you know that you are right where you're supposed to be. You know, Vince, I was thinking about you telling that story around sitting at around the table with all these people. You had your mullet. You don't got a mullet today. You know what I mean? You kind of rocking the bald look like I usually do.
Yeah, I'll pretend that's by choice, man. Yeah. Didn't all just fall out one day, surely.
I remember Greg and I got called to the state capital of North Carolina to tell them, thank you, Greg. Keep putting New Zealand in the chat so I don't mess up his country again.
Nice, Greg. Yeah.
We were up there. We were in the big executive halls of the Speaker of the House and congressmen, and they wanted to hear about what Greg and I were trying to do with our nonprofit. And let me tell you something, brother. It was foreboding. It was intimidating. Here's these two cats with some homemade printed off, you know, briefs. Like we didn't have a clue what we were doing, but we went up there, and actually that event, even though I felt like, I don't know how I'm going to talk to these esteemed legislators, that event turned into something where we had 37 events from that. We were right where we were supposed to be. And exactly. For those of you out there listening, ladies and gentlemen, my guest, Vince Warnock from New Zealand, who is an expert in, he's an expert in a whole lot of things. But one of the things that he is an expert is dealing with imposter syndrome. And that's interesting because I've had people, you know, I get a lot of coaches that want to come on. And I mean, like, coaches are like almost a dime a dozen now, Vince, but I'm pretty selective on that because, number one, I don't want to choke my audience with kind of like the same thing. But number two, I want people to really give us some tangible stuff. You just did a few minutes ago in church. They say, man, I felt something on that. But some people are out here. Some people are listening to us live right now. Some people are downloading this podcast from all across the country, and they're feeling like they're in the wrong place. They're feeling like they're in over their head and they're ready to throw in the towel. So how do you help someone, Vince, channel that and not give up? How do you help them channel that and not become reclusive? Give us a nugget on what you do, Vince.
There are so many things you can do, but one of the most impactful things I think you can do right now, and I encourage everybody to do this, even if you're not feeling that, I encourage you to do it, is to create what I call an impact list. And this is something I'd love to take credit for, but it was actually something that somebody helping me did one day, because I was down in the dumps. I was having one of those mornings where you wake up and go, what the hell am I doing? I should get a real job.
Let me go punch a clock.
Yeah. And they had to remind me what I teach people. That was the irony. But what I had to do was I wrote down a list of everybody that I impact. And that can be all of your clients. It could be your next door neighbor if you take the garbage out for them because it's raining and you don't want them to get wet. It could be the person you help with a broken tire or, you know, a flat tire down the road. It could be any way that you help someone. Write that down, right? Write down their name, what their need was, how you met that need, and what the impact of that was. And this will do two things for you. The first thing, by the way, you're going to find is as soon as you start to write that list, you'll probably think of three people to put on there. And you go, oh yeah, that's good. But keep pressing in, keep going back to that list and adding more names, because you will come across it over and over again. You'll come across all these people that you turn up for that you're impacting and you're helping. When you do this, it does two things to your brain. The first thing it does is it reminds you of your why, like it encourages you, because often self-doubt and imposter syndrome, all of these things, is that your thoughts and feelings are over here on the left, but the reality, the evidence that's in front of you, is over here on the right. These two things are misaligned. So by reading that impact list, you are putting the two things into alignment. You're saying to your brain, here is the evidence to say that I am exactly where I need to be. Here's the evidence that says I need to keep pressing through and keep pressing on. So it will give you that perspective, which is really, really important. But the other thing it does to your brain, and this is just, you have to think through this, like how vision works.
Right.
When you are focused inward, right? So imagine imposter syndrome, self-doubt, all of the things you're challenged with right now, all the things you're dealing with, that is you looking inward at yourself, because that is you. So it's this little bubble that's around your head and you're looking inwards there. The moment you take your sight off of that and you focus out there on the people that you're helping, the moment you do that, everything in your immediate vicinity is now in your peripheral vision, which means you are not focused on it. It is blurry, right? So that means that it lessens its impact of you. When you focus out there on all of the people that you're impacting and all of the people that are going to benefit from you continually showing up, you continually trying to build what it is you're trying to build. That will not only remind you why you're doing what you're doing, but you'll get to the point where you go, actually, you know what? I have no right to not turn up. Yes, I'm having a bad day. And as humans, you're going to have bad days. That's just normal. You have good days and bad days. They balance each other out. But on those bad days, you will keep pressing in because you realize if I don't press in, if I don't turn up, I'm denying somebody else the impact that I have created for them. So, yeah, highly encourage everyone to write an impact list. By the way, I used to do this. I would write it on post-it notes.
Yeah.
So I write them on little post-it notes and put them on my wall in my office. This is in my old office. Put them on the wall. But then I realized I actually have people come over to my office and it's really embarrassing when they're looking at this wall of all these people. It's like, man, are you a narcissist or something? And I'm like, no, trust me. So I transferred them all into Trello. So I've got like a Trello board with different comments to different things, different feedback that I've had from people, different ways that I've impacted them, different things that I've broken through for them. And I encourage you to even if you're not having a bad day, even if you're having a good day, go and read that list. Go back to that list and read it, and you will feel your motivation. You'll feel your passion just rise and rise and rise.
You know, Randy says it's a good idea. Thank you for joining us on our live show there, Randy. He says it's a good idea. Interesting way to look at being unselfish. He also says Vince is right. You got to give 100% for others around you. I'm reminded of the movie It's a Wonderful Life, and that tells you right there. Interesting that he told us to make an impact list, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting ready to go to our commercial with our sponsors, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Vince about his marketing psychology and his strategies, and he is truly a scientist of marketing. It's interesting that he told us to write an impact list. And you know the title of the show, ladies and gentlemen, is Impacting Life 24/7. And the model for our company is impacting one life, one day at a time. We will be right back after a quick commercial from for our sponsors. And let's just hope that it doesn't play something that I didn't have in the queue. And let's turn it up, y'all. Go alone. But if you want to go far, then you've got to go together. Impacting Life 24/7 is an international podcast which is downloaded in over 22 U.S. states as well as 10 different countries around the world. One of our gold sponsors, which helps make this happen, is Michelle Perry. She is the founder of the Successful Diligence LLC and host of the Successful Diligence podcast, and she's a best-selling author of The Pebble in My Shoe. You can connect with Michelle and get a copy of her book at successfuldiligence.com. Adrian Barker is a gold sponsor. She is the host of the Adrian Barker Speaks podcast. She is a life coach and a CEO of Professional Global Etiquette. Her goal is to help people unearth the greatness that's within them. Connect with her at professionalglobaletiquette.com. Our platinum sponsors include Gregory Smith. He is the author of 100 Simple Ways How to Manage a Property and Evidence Room. Get your copy today of his book by reaching out to Gregory Smith on Facebook or email him at smithg1963@yahoo.com. Greg is a humanitarian at heart. Often Greg will be found helping distribute food in his local community, and he logs thousands of hours volunteering every year. Mr. Mike Black from New Bern, North Carolina is a platinum sponsor. Mike helps men throughout Eastern Carolina lead a life of faith. He is a compassionate leader in his church. He is a devoted husband and father to his daughter who just recently graduated from Army boot camp. Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr. is executive director of the PRF Institute, the author of What's Next? Preparing for Eternity. And he's the author of Don't Leave Me Like This, Inspiration to Leave a Legacy. As a 501c3 nonprofit organization, the PRF Institute is blessed to be that premier stewardship-based teaching ministry that truly responds to the needs of families and communities around the country. You can find Dr. Dunlap and his amazing team at prfinstitute.org. If you would like to become a sponsor of Impacting Life 24/7, which is heard in 22 states and 10 countries, go to clkingspeaker.com. Yes, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to Impacting Life 24/7 with your host, CL King. And Greg, I will have to tell you, I was talking in a conference call today to Javi and his wife, Madrigal, there in the West Seattle, Washington area. And they said that a police detective or someone in the law enforcement agency reached out to them in Alaska because they heard the commercial, brother, and they're buying a whole bunch of your books to give out to police departments because evidence rooms are a disaster and nobody is writing about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it right here first. These commercials are as a result of our sponsors. And if you're a $5 a month sponsor, you get a free commercial on our show for as long as you're sponsoring. And so, Greg, be looking for the books to be flying off the shelf, brother. Thanks to your commitment to help other people in law enforcement. I am back with my friend, my brother from another mother, Vince Warnock from New Zealand.
Yes, nicely done.
here's what I must confess, Vince. I mess up people's names, addresses, telephone numbers, all the whole show. If I didn't have Greg and our team put the comments in the thing, brother, no telling where you'd be from and your name. So please forgive me, y'all. It is from, y'all know why I can't remember anything, and it's no fault of mine. So I'm back with Vince Warnock. He is so many things. I want to give you his website here real quick. It is chasingtheinsights.com. He is a strategist. He is a marketing expert. He is an imposter syndrome. He helps people understand imposter syndrome, helps them embrace it. Man, if you missed the first 30 minutes of this show, you're going to have to go back and listen to it, y'all, because y'all missed a rich piece of information. Vince Warnock from New Zealand is with us live, and he's already committed. We already got him on contract to come back and and just continue to help us. So, Vince, here we are in the 21st century.
Yep.
And you know, brother, they were singing Auld Lang Syne at the end of 2019. Y'all sing that over there, Auld Lang Syne?
No, but I'm a huge fan of,
right? So,
huge fan of What a Wonderful Life. Right. It's a Wonderful Life, so yeah.
So they were saying, man, 2020 is going to be the year of vision. It's going to be the year of promise, focused, and everything else. And then everything fell off the hinges. But you and I were talking during the pre-show. And it seems like in your area and your thought processes, this might have been some of the best soil to sow and plant new seeds in. Give us your explanation of why.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Okay. So very quickly, 2020 was the year that I left Cigna. So I was the chief marketing officer there. And I left pre-pandemic. So I got out just at the beginning of it, realized I had something else I wanted to move on to, which was writing the book I'm writing at the moment. I knew I was called to do that. I knew it was going to impact a lot of people. So it was an easy decision. They all thought I was nuts. They're going, do you know how much we pay you? And I'm like, yes, but this is what I want to do.
Right.
But in writing the book, I was dealing with so many different entrepreneurs. And I was talking to people in New Zealand, Australia, Canada, the US, and talking to them about imposter syndrome, talking about how they approach their business and things. And then the pandemic hit. And that was the point where it was like a global reset, where everybody suddenly said to me, look, we'd love to keep helping you with the book, but the reality is we're kind of stressed right now. Mm-hmm. We have all the same overheads, but we have no revenue coming in the door. Whew. And for a lot of the businesses I was dealing with, that was the exact case. They were bricks and mortar stores, or they were, I think I was telling you, one of them is a chiropractor. So she runs a clinic. So obviously that shut down over lockdown. But the other aspect she had was she would go into corporations and do chair massages. And she would turn up there and they'd book a room and everyone come in. The organization would pay her based on how many people she got through. And obviously, not only could she not get in the door of these corporations because of lockdown, but nobody was at work anyway. They're all working from home or they're all elsewhere.
Yeah.
So she was going, I just don't know what to do, Vince. And I was like, well, I can't leave it at this because you're helping me. I need to help you. So I said, what if you just give me a moment? Let's talk through some of the stuff. So I asked her the question, which was, why do they even let you in the door? And she goes, oh, because I do chair massages. I'm like, no, they do not care. Like, seriously, right. Nobody in the senior executive there care that you do chair massages. That you could be the best masseuse ever. They wouldn't give a rat's butt. Like, seriously. So why do they let you in there? And we got it down to the fact that they've worked out that stress-free people are productive people. And every employer wants productive employees. That's just par for the course.
Right.
So I got her to do an experiment. I said, I want you to find your top three clients, your top three corporates, like the ones that you have good relationships with. I want you to call them and I want you to say this. So the idea was she was going to call them up and say, look, I'm very aware that this is a stressful time for all your employees. And I'm also aware there's no way I can come in and do chair massage and that. But what if there was a way where I could turn up and help them with their well-being? So I could turn up and do a group Zoom call where I teach them breathing exercises, I teach them self-care, I teach them to look after themselves so that they can reduce their anxiety and stress. So she came back to me and I said to her, like, how'd it go? And she goes, well, I didn't call the three. And I went, oh, okay. Thinking she had just called one, but what she had done is called all of her clients because the response she got from every call was not a yes, not a maybe, not a I'll think about it. It was a hell yes, please, we desperately need this. So immediately she tapped into the real benefit that she offers her clients. And that to me, that this is what I mean about it being fertile soil, is because when you have a reset on a scale like that, when you have a point where everybody's forced to stop and to think, that is the point where you can either, be defeatist and go, hey, I'm a victim in here and I'm not going to break through, or you can think different. And it's in that thinking different, it's getting to the core of what you offer. That is where the value is. And I have honestly, I've seen so many companies I'm working with just completely pivot during this or to change the way that they approach it and to get massive breakthroughs. Where in fact, a couple of the companies I'm dealing with, they literally are making more money now than they ever had prior to COVID, which was actually a little bit bad. It got to the point, by the way, I never wanted to say to people, they go, oh, how are you coping with the pandemic? And I didn't want to answer them because I'm aware of how stressful this is for a lot of people. There's a lot of really anxious people who are really kind of at their wits' ends. They have no income, they have nothing, and they're really freaking out about how to put food on the table. And yet I'm there going, I'm having the best year ever. Honestly, this is awesome.
So, you know, I felt that. I feel that same way, Vince, yeah. Because, I've you try to be mindful. And I told my wife this the other day. I said, I try to be mindful, even what I say on this show, because we've lost some friends to COVID. So I'm very, very mindful of that. But I'm also mindful that my assignment, your assignment, is to inspire people, to push people, to get people moving again. And I tell people that, 2020 was one of our best years. I mean, I bought a brand new home, bought a brand new vehicle, podcast exploded in the midst of a pandemic. Mm. Right. And then, with our podcast, this gave us a platform where we didn't have to wait to get our name on the marquee for somebody. You know what I'm saying? It gave us another platform that we could continue on with our mission of impacting lives. And so, you talk about in your book, which, ladies and gentlemen, you got to go and get a copy of my friend's book, Vince Warnock. You got to go get a copy of his book. It's called Chasing the Insights. And Greg, put his website up there again for us, if you would, please. But you can find it at chasingtheinsights.com, chasingtheinsights.com. And you cover several dynamic areas in here. And you've kind of inspired me because I seen you got a section in here on how to write a book. So we'll probably talk again offline because, I told him how I'm writing my book. And he kind of laughed at first. But then he said, would you say the number one rule for writing a book?
Number one rule for writing a book is there are no rules. Everyone will tell you how you should approach it. Everyone will tell you how you should be writing and you should structure it in this way and that way and blah, blah, blah. It's all rubbish. Like, seriously, you write what you're comfortable with. You write what you're trying to do. And I've seen, so I broke all the rules with my book. Everyone kept saying to me, write it in one draft, then go back and you edit it fully. And I'm like, nah, I wrote a chapter. Then I write another chapter, reread that chapter, edit it, rewrite it, go back, do chapter three, go back to chapter two. Wait, not happy with that. Yeah, it was just, it's whatever works for you. And there were specific reasons I did it that way. And I was saying to you as well, a good friend of mine, made me really anxious. She was telling me how she wrote her book. And she just went, well, I had all these different things I wanted to talk about. So I just wrote a chapter on each of them. And then I went, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, what order am I going to put these chapters in? I'm like, wait, you don't have an overall structure? She goes, no, I don't care about that. I care about all these different things. And her book, international bestseller on multiple different platforms. And I was like, okay. That's it. There are no rules.
I will put a sock in it then. There you go.
Nice. Yeah.
So again, Vince Warnock, the author of Chasing the Insights. And one of the things that I saw was how you give people, I love your practicalness in this book. And ladies and gentlemen, you got to get a copy, especially if you're an entrepreneur, especially if you're even if you're dealing with the stuff we talked about in the beginning, feeling, you know, as an imposter or feeling not worthy, man, this book is going to help you. But one of the things you talk about is experimental marketing. And and so a lot of people are like, okay, so what does that mean? You're putting your toe in here, you're putting your toe in there. So Vince, break it down for us what experimental marketing is. You don't have to tell us the whole book, but just give us kind of just give us a nugget about what that's about.
Well, the good news is it doesn't involve beakers at all, or Bunsen burners. Essentially, it's something I learned through one of my own companies that I founded. We were kind of breaking into a new market. We had absolutely no budget whatsoever. I knew starting the business, I was going to have to take 6 months of no income. And my co-founder as well, we realized this is going to be a big job, but 6 months of no income. We raised $1 million worth of seed funding off the back of that. And then we kind of grew the team from there. But again, we still had to be really careful with our money. We had a short runway to be able to achieve all this. So we couldn't just throw money at a problem.
Right.
So we had to learn how to get incredibly creative. And one of the things I realized is all of these kind of things, it's not about, and I was saying to you beforehand, man, everyone's looking for a silver bullet.
Yeah.
Every entrepreneur, every marketer, everyone's looking at, oh, what's the next thing that's going to propel me to success?
Right.
Oh, TikTok. Is it going to be doing CEO's TikToks for his book? Is that going to be the thing that makes me successful? Maybe, but probably not.
Nope.
Is it going to be running a quiz? Is it going to be doing an online course? Is it going to be all of these different things? And right. Should I be on every single platform? Should all the different kind of things that confuse us and give us overwhelm and anxiety? We're all worried that those are going to be the things, and we need to do all of them. Otherwise, we're going to miss out on a massive opportunity. Well, guess what? The secret is there is no silver bullet. It is about incremental gains. And there's this Japanese concept called Kaizen,
yep.
which was founded after World War II.
Yep. I know. I'm a Six Sigma Green Belt.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So, but it's about incremental change. It's about continual improvement.
Yes.
And for me, this was the key that we had to learn for my company. This is how we propelled to our success. And I've now brought this into every organization that I work for, everyone I'm coaching as well. It is about making sure you're trying to be 1% better every single day.
Mm.
And to do this with experimentation, in its nutshell, it is basically going, look, what are the big challenges I have as an entrepreneur? Like one of those might be, I don't have enough leads coming in. So, okay, let's have a look at that. What is my hypothesis around this? If I was to try this, I would generate more leads. So let's test that in a test environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I created a framework around that and going, right, this is how you can run an experiment. It's called the Chaser Method. And it gives you these six steps to be able to run an experiment. However, then I realized that actually having a process, having a framework doesn't mean much if you don't have the right mindset approaching it. And I realized that one of the biggest challenges we have around experimentation is this fear of failure.
Mm.
Because if you set up, and I saw it time and time again with different people I was working with, where they go, right, I'm going to run this experiment. And it doesn't go the way that they hoped. They have this hypothesis and they disprove the hypothesis. So immediately they think, oh, that means it failed.
Mm-hmm.
So two things happen. They get discouraged. The other thing that happened is that they look for every aspect that it won. So they go and they go, well, this vanity metric showed that maybe it was a success. And I got more likes on Facebook than normal, even though I got no sales from it.
Right.
So that must be successful. So you kind of try and prove that it worked yourself. But the reality is it didn't. And so what I had to do is change people's focus around that and go, it's not about success and failure. It is about success and insight. So every experiment you run, whether you prove or disprove your hypothesis, is going to give you so much insight into your target market, into your customers, into your offering, into everything that you need to be able to succeed. So continually trying all these different experiments over and over will get you incredible results. I call it the compound interest approach, because you're just building on all these successes. And while all these people are down over here waiting for the silver bullet, and they're trying it and it doesn't work, and trying it doesn't work, and oh no, they're getting discouraged. You've just made all these improvements and you're now way up here, way ahead of your competition.
Man, you just listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, you got to come back, because we're having them back. I'll send you the link as soon as we close out, and you just go ahead and schedule it, okay? He just said something that really just blew my mind. And I told my wife this the other day, because both my wife and I are entrepreneurs, and we've been building businesses for over a decade. And I told her, I said, babe, I don't think, even though our platform is growing, and it's grown a whole lot more than when we started a year ago. So we were definitely doing the 1% analysis every day. But I said, I don't think we're going to be like this. You know, my kids, they're like, oh, dad, are you going to be TikTok famous? You know what I noticed? Vince, you know what I noticed? Here's what I noticed. Here's what I noticed. And this just came to me, brother. You put this in your next book. All those people that that have 500,000 views on TikTok are doing their TikToks in a trailer.
Yes.
They're doing their TikToks in a broke down, you know, Honda Civic. And yep. they got 1.5 million views. And that's what, ooh, come on, somebody. That's what we have equated to success is, ooh, I'm an overnight sensation because I showed on TikTok how to take butter out the refrigerator and put it in a skillet and melt it. And everybody follows me. But yet you still making TikToks in a 10x14 trailer.
Exactly. This is such an important point, man. Seriously. This is the thing is we often... Like most entrepreneurs sitting there, they'll be looking at these people on TikTok going, I wish I had that.
Right.
I wish I had that 500,000 followers. I wish I had a million people liking what I'm doing, all those kind of things. I wish I had people sharing my content. But the reality is you're projecting your view of what that success is onto that person. Because you're there going, obviously they are successful because they've got 500,000 follows.
Uh-huh.
But the reality is that person's still dealing with, trying to get money on the table, trying to be able to provide for their family, trying to build their business. 500,000 means absolutely nothing if you're not converting any of that. So often we look at these vanity metrics, we look at these indicators, and we think that is success. But guess what? It is not success. There could be success behind that. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Some of these people are doing incredibly well,
right.
But the majority of them, it is this, I call it hashtag blessed life, where everyone's got this Instagram kind of filter over their life going, everything's so wonderful and my food's amazing and aren't my children the best? In fact, honestly, I used to work with a person that was like a real life Instagram filter. Like she's an incredible woman, really powerful marketer, really talented marketer. But everything about her, like first of all, her and her husband were both incredibly beautiful people. Uh-huh. Like they were just gorgeous. Their two children were just stunning. They were the photogenic, picture perfect children, and everything in their life seemed to be incredible. Like I'm looking, they're doing all this humanitarian work. They're getting all the success and everything. And I was just like, man, how do I relate to these people? Like seriously, this is so unattainable. But there was one day she had finished working with me and we'd kind of gone into separate roles and we had sponsored this half marathon. So I was like, right, I'm going to run this event. And I knew she was going to be there. So we're going to catch up afterwards. It's going to be great. But I missed her. And I was like, gutted. I was a bit slower than I hoped. I think actually see old age was kicking in. But anyway, I finished this event. I was like, oh, I didn't get to see her. Never mind. And then finally I saw her at the distance. I was just leaving the event. And I saw her at the entranceway to it. And I was like, yes, I get to catch up with her. So I ran over to her and I was like, hey, how's it going? And she just burst into tears. And she said, I'm having a really bad day. And I said, what's happened? She goes, I had a fight with the husband this morning. Both the kids are being little brats. And I'm really stressed about this. And I'm really stressed about that. Now, outwardly, I'm just really, I'm very empathetic. I'm very comforting. I'm going, oh, you put the company here, gave her a hug and all that. On the inside, I'm going, yes, you're human. Thank goodness. I just thought her life was this hashtag filter. But actually, she's a real human being with real insecurities, real problems, real challenges, like all of you and I. Like, honestly, we've got to stop trying to measure our success based on other people and by what we perceive success is in their life and actually look at it by real tangible things that are in our own life.
Wow.
It's getting dizzy up here on the soapbox, man.
That's powerful. That's powerful, ain't it? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, again, my friend, my guest, all the way from New Zealand, Vince Warnock. He is the author of Chasing the Insights, and we talked about a little bit about experimental marketing, the chaser method, practical experiments. In other words, you want people to do things that when you say practical experiments, actual practical examples you can try for yourself. Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, when I wrote the book, I was really keen that it be the kind of book I want to write.
Right.
So outside of it being a comic book, which that wasn't going to help people, I thought, right, I need it to have the framework in there, have a whole part, like one section's on the framework, one section's on the mindset required to cultivate that and to put it into practice. Then I thought, I don't want people to go away from the book and go, that was cool, thanks, man. I want them to go away and actually do something with it. So
right.
I put practical experiments for myself. I grabbed three other leaders in digital marketing around the world. So one in the UK, one in the US, one in New Zealand, and got them to contribute practical experiments as well. So these are things that you as an entrepreneur, as a marketer can try to try and move the needle for your business. But the key is, and I teach this, in fact, even at Cigna, when I started at Cigna, you talk about experimentation, the CFO gets really nervous. He's like, what? You're going to gamble with our budgets? Mm. Who do you think you are? And I'm going, no, set aside an aspect of your business, set aside a percentage of your marketing budget, a percentage of your time, your energy, all those kind of things, to try something new, to try it, to test your hypothesis, to see if you can prove or disprove that, to gain the insights from it. Because even if it doesn't work, you are going to learn so much. And then just continually try that as a process, you know. So we used to get the CFO very happy when you're going, we ran this experiment and here's the result and it only cost XYZ. And they're like, oh my goodness, yes.
Vince, I got a question for you because I was looking at some of the top organizations that we, you know, we all follow in the world, you know, Amazon, yep. Ford, GM, all those folks, and how they break down their marketing strategy and their budget and such. So yep. When you're talking about an entrepreneur, you've got the product and yep. then you've got how to get the product out. When I first started in the speaking business, they said you had your marketing and your messaging. Okay. If your messaging was great, but nobody could hear it, then what good was it? So when we're talking about digital marketing, how much emphasis should an entrepreneur begin to put into their marketing, and how much should they step their game up? What is your thoughts?
Well, okay. So this is always such a tricky question, man. Seriously, because everyone's budgets, everyone's markets are completely different. But here's what I do know, right? One of the first things you have to do. So a lot of people will teach you, they go, okay, if you're going to come up with a marketing strategy, you need to look at what channels you're going to be on. You need to look at what budgets you've got for advertising. You forget all of that.
Okay.
Forget everything. Like seriously, the first thing you should be doing is getting as close as possible to your potential market. So talking as often and as frequently and as much as possible to your potential clients. You need to get them to tell you basically how to market to them. So you need to talk to them, get them to tell you stories about where they were when they first dealt with you, or what they were thinking or what they were feeling. Last time that they bought whatever it is that you say, for example, you're a course creator, you've got some online course, you want to sell that to people. Actually interview people and say, what courses have you done before? What did you think and feel when you were going through that course? What were the things that made you hesitate from buying a course? What were the things that made you leap in and buy it? You know, like find out all this information, record them as much as possible, because in their words, first of all, they'll give you information. They'll mm-hmm. give you insights because they'll say, well, actually I was looking for a course because it had a practical element to you. Okay, I'll add a practical element to mine. Or they go, because I could do it in my own time. Okay, in my own time. You can add those into your product, into your suite, into whatever it is you're doing. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that they will give you, something that's far more powerful than all of that, is the words that they're using. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a good example of this. Even though I teach this stuff, CL, I totally stuff it up every now and then because I'm a human. But I remember dealing with this company in Melbourne, and it's these two little old ladies that run a knitting cafe. Okay, so I had helped them transform through the pandemic. They basically had this cafe where you go in there, you can buy a glass of wine and a scone with some jam and cream on. You could learn to knit some stitch or something. I don't know enough about knitting to pretend. you learn to do whatever it is that you do with knitting. Right. And then you could buy your products from them. So during lockdown, all of that ceased. No one could come to the store. No one could do anything. They couldn't sell anything because they didn't have an online shop. So I was helping them. We got an online shop set up. Massive success. But the other thing for them was I realized that nobody could find their shop, right? They had their community. I wanted them to go wider than their community. So I said, look, guys, you've got a search engine optimization problem. And they look at me blankly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we're on Zoom. And they're just looking at me completely blank.
What in the world?
And I'm like, okay, you've got a search engine optimization problem. Basically, you know, you're not on the front page of Google, right? We really need to do a SEO audit. And I'm going to put together a strategy to help you to get up the rankings. And they both just shook their head. And I went, what? And they went, but Vince, we don't mean to be insulting, but we don't care about any of that. We just want to be found on Google.
Right.
And I was like, oh my goodness. And I realized I was using terms. I was using marketing. I was using things that I understood.
Right.
I should be talking in the language that they understand. So I reframed it really quickly, even though that's exactly what I was telling them.
Yeah.
I reframed it and said, so you're not being found on Google? No, we're not. I said, okay, do you want me to find out how to get found on Google? Why are you not getting found? They went, yes. I said, and then we'll get you found on Google. Yes, take our money. And I'm like, okay.
Ching, ching, ching.
Yeah, ching, ching. So that's what you should be doing. So any marketing channel, like people always ask me, when should we be paying for advertising? I'll tell you when. You should pay for advertising when you've proven that your product sells, or whatever it is that you're offering sells. You've proven how to sell it, like either face-to-face, over the DMs, however you do it. But you should be doing it in an organic way first. Prove that you can actually sell what you have to sell. And then you look at paid advertising as a way to scale that. But you can't do that. You're just throwing money away if you just put advertising out there without understanding what messaging really works, without understanding what they want to hear from you, what their actual needs are, and how you're meeting those needs. So hopefully that does answer your question. But it's just basically, because everyone gets really overwhelmed at marketing. They go, where do I begin? Where do I start? I'll tell you where to start. Talk to somebody. Talk to a potential client. Just ask them to tell you a little bit about their world, what their problems are, what their needs are around what, obviously, what you're offering. You don't want them to come in, you're going, well, I couldn't sleep last night. You're like, well, my digital course isn't going to help that.
Right. We've got some sleep music for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to pivot really quickly.
Man, ladies and gentlemen, I am so delighted that we've had, this has been probably the fastest 30 minutes we've had, I mean, an hour we've had in a long, long time. We've been blessed to have Vince Warnock on our show, and he is the author of Chasing the Insights. You can find him on chasingtheinsights.com. He works in two parallel dichotomies. He helps people with understand and embrace imposter syndrome, feeling less about themselves, but then he goes and helps entrepreneurs scale their businesses and marketing and digital marketing and so much more. And we just really scratched the surface. So we're going to have Vince back. He's all the way in New Zealand, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
I didn't want to put him in the wrong country. Coming from South Africa. So Vince, as we always do, I know we're out of time, but I would ask that you would give a word of encouragement to our entrepreneurs and leaders out there, and whatever's on your heart, take 60 seconds and give them a word of encouragement, brother.
No, definitely. Well, the first thing, I just want you to understand something. As an entrepreneur, as a business owner and everything, you have to understand that you are actually something incredibly special. I genuinely think entrepreneurship is a high calling. And by that, I mean, you are one of the very small percentage of human beings that have the courage and the tenacity to create something new, to birth something into existence that doesn't exist. So I just want you to know that that is something that is not only worth celebrating, worth encouraging, but it's worth patting yourself on the back for. So as entrepreneurs, all of us hit the wall. Every single one of us are human. Every single one of us have those days where we wake up and go, what the hell am I doing? Like, why didn't I not get a normal job? Because this is really, really difficult. It is difficult. It is lonely, but you've got to keep pressing in, because the world needs what you are doing. But more importantly, it needs more of you in it. You are an awesome, awesome human being. So just keep pressing in, keep putting one foot in front of the other. Reach out to people if you're ever struggling. Reach out to people that genuinely want you to succeed, like CL, like myself, like any other coaches, mentors, peers that you have that you trust. But there's a whole pile of people out there that genuinely want you to succeed. So reach out and talk to somebody.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, again, my friend, Vince Warnock, he's been our guest tonight, all the way from New Zealand. He is the author of Chasing the Insights. I would love for you to go connect with him. You can connect with him on social media as well. You can find him at Vince Warnock on Twitter, social media, Facebook, Instagram. He's all over the place. He is making a difference and making a mark in this 21st century marketplace that is really helping people pivot and shift and scale their businesses to the degree that they're coming out and realizing, yeah, I might be in my, this is, I'm out of my comfort zone. And that's exactly where I'm supposed to be. So we're looking forward. Thank you, Mike, for saying it was an outstanding show. I do concur. We're going to have Vince back. And Vince, I would really appreciate if you told all the folks in New Zealand that I was accidentally, you know, distracted when I said Australia. Okay, I want everybody to still listen to the show in New Zealand, because we do have downloads in New Zealand. Okay, brother.
I will pass it on to every New Zealander face to face personally for you. Okay.
Oh man, I'm always blowing it. But anyway, Vince, you really have been a blessing to our show and to those entrepreneurs out there. I know you left a lot of wealth on, you know, in our ears tonight. And we look forward to having you back again. Okay, Vince?
Likewise. Thanks, man.
All right. I hope that you have a good rest of your day, because it's daytime over there. What time is it right now?
It is 1:35 p.m.
1:35 p.m. tomorrow. So we talking to the future. Vince is in the future, y'all. And
I can tell you there's no flying cars yet, but the world hasn't ended, so it's all good.
Vince Warnock, man, we really appreciate you, man. Have a great rest of your day. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we're very, very blessed to have Vince Warnock here. I told you he was you know, it's funny how things happen. You know, I wasn't really even supposed to have him on the show. We had scheduled him, and he was supposed to just be on for a pre-interview, and I sent him the wrong link. And so that's really good. That was really a good thing, because glad we got him on the show. Man, what a tremendous, tremendous amount of information that he has. And as you see, he's built million-dollar businesses, chasing the insights. And so we're very, very thankful for him. This week, we've got quite a bit on the agenda. Wednesday, I would love for you guys to clear your schedule and make time for us. We're going to have a special broadcast on our show Wednesday with Greg, some folks from Nine Limb Strikers, and also Jaslyn, the young lady that we've been telling you guys about, who is really in the fight of her life. She needs a kidney or kidney transplant, and things are not going to be well if she doesn't. And so we wanted to have her on the show. We wanted you guys to hear about her story, and really, really, she's making an impact. Greg has taken the lead. So has Nine Limb Strikers. They've got a fundraiser coming up. We'd love for you to hear about that, participate in it. And so that'll be Wednesday of this week. Tomorrow night, we'll also be back here, right back in the studios of Impact Life 24/7. And I will have a gentleman named Malachi. I think he's an audio producer, and he helps people with their artistry. And I had a great pre-show with him. And so looking forward to hearing what he is doing to help people expand their artistry in the music world, and what he has done to help people be successful in that realm. So we got Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and also we'll be closing the week out Thursday night. So we got a very, very packed week. And so we appreciate all of you out there. If you'd like to become a sponsor, it's very simple. Just go to clkingspeaker.com. We've got three levels: $1 a month, $5 a month, and $15 a month. It tells you on the website why we do that and what it's for. And we'd really appreciate you considering doing that. Also, if you'd like to get some merchandise, that could help us help others and help us get out on the road. Your purchase of our merchandise helps us with our mission. So again, clkingspeaker.com. Tune back in tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night for more stories and more exploration of Impact 24/7. We appreciate you. And again, I'm thankful that we get to do this. You know, I don't count it lightly, because people listen. People are downloading the show, and it is a privilege from people. We just looked at the numbers the other day. It was 23 states, and now it's 33. What a blessing. So continue to support us. We'll continue to bring you great content. Hope you have a great evening.